measure of just being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the place of it's the greatest thing that you could be is be saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Him. There's no question about that. But there are times when more of His Spirit needs to be in our life so that we can defeat the enemy. And you'll fix him to understand, what do you mean? I thought we could defeat the enemy at all times. Well, do you remember the disciples were sent out two by two? And they were called to minister and to cast out demons and to heal and to preach the gospel. And a man brought his son who was demon-possessed. And he said, hey, I need your help here, my son. He throws himself into the fire and into the water. And so the men who were commissioned by Christ to lay hands on him began to pray on. They were the disciples. And they prayed as much as they knew how to. And they were filled, wow, with an authority that God gave to them. And yet, they were unable to deal with the situation. And so the man brought the son, right, to Jesus. Of course, Jesus was able. What was the difference? And that's what it's important. And that's why we're going to take time over the next several weeks of going back over and getting some examples that will help you become the power that God wants for you to have in your life. Amen? So, all right, so here we go. All right, so last week, Pastor Brandon came and he took the pulpit, and I was so excited that he could do it because it allowed me to go to a men's conference in Bonita Park, New Mexico, right next to Ruidosa, Nazarene Camp, been there for 80 years. It's a men's conference, and we have some men that are going to with us, and it is got a great title. It's called Hammer 2025. What are you doing? Yeah, I understand that, but what was he doing? You don't need to pick it up. So anyway, listen, we're there, and we're there with men. It's a record number. 209 men are together worshiping and having a time of refilling and refreshing, and we're there. Wow, and we're during a place by which, man, we are singing unto the Lord, and these men are singing loudly, we have that Psalms 47 moment that we talked about here 2 weeks ago. Anybody remember the Psalms 47? Come on now, it's only been 2 weeks or so. Huh? If I said to you, all you people do what? What are you supposed to reply with? All you people, shout! That's what it says. God wants us to shout. He wants you to shout with what? He's saying, with a voice, not your neighbor's voice, but your voice. You know what I'm saying? It's quit relying on everybody else to do the shouting for you. Sometimes you got to shout with a voice of triumph and not defeat. Quit decreeing at a can I talk to you for a minute? I just feel so defeated. You don't mind saying those things so you can get help to. No, shout unto God with a voice of triumph at a decibel that is tangible. And that was happening at the conference, by the way. Amen. So we're having Psalms 47 moments, and it's loud, it's ruckus, you know? That's a great word, huh? Ruckus. And it had a touch of being magnified. Everybody know what the word magnified means? Magnification? Never heard it? No. It's a word I made up. And I can do that because I got the pulpit. Magnified. Man, magnified is good. It's good on, it's like a coin. It's got a heads and a tails to it. You know what I'm saying? And so on the heads part of it, man, there are 209 men worshiping God because they see other men worshiping. And so, man, they're clapping loud. Yes, and everybody's together. They're raising their hands. You got people who are free enough in this particular situation that are magnified, and they're at the altar being free to what? Free to worship. Wow, it was unbelievable. And it was good. And Man, it was not only loud, it wasn't just ruckus. Men are clapping, raising their hands, and they're free at the altar. And but then a magnified moment happened. One of us men that were there at Hammer was up at the altar, and he got bold beyond measure, and he actually was not only at the altar, but under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he's over here, and I see him, he's getting up, and he knows that God wants him to do something, and he starts to get away from people, and he's here, and he starts running. He starts running around. Everybody's clapping, right? Everybody's clapping. Everybody's had their hands raised. And they're, oh, what in the world is that guy doing? He's moving to what God told him to move to. He's running around the facility, which is much larger than this. He goes down from the altar here. He runs. He's running as so to win. Some of us, if God asked us to run, we would run. No, the Bible says to run so as to win. And so he takes off, and man, he's not a young guy. And he is sprinting. And he's to the back of the building, and he's down. He's running around the congregants of men, 209 men. And the clapping that was so loud begins to get a little bit less. It's not much less, but you could tell something. People are looking. People are looking, and when I say people, it's only men. They're looking at him, and they're going, what do I do? So the men look. We're under a spirit of magnification. We start looking at each other, and we're not going to join in unless you go first, right?
Right.
So you got one guy who's there, and people are, and not one person, not one man. The tails part of magnification, of being magnified, came and bit that service right where the enemy wanted it. He had a man who was obedient, running so to win because he's unctioned by the Spirit of God to do so, and we should have had a 208 men following him. But not a one person, because of the spirit of magnifications. Because here's what's uncool about men sometimes is they have pride. And they are not going to be subject to being made fun of, because it hurts my ego. And so this guy's traveling. And I'm telling you, ask the guys that were there. He's running fast, and he's got to be at least 55. He had to be at least 55. And he was sprinting. And so I'm sure that he's thinking, wow, Father God, what am I doing? Why do you have me doing this? Do you want people to come with me? I don't know. But nobody. So he finishes probably his fourth lap. And he stops. At least he stops at the altar. He doesn't go back to his chair, but he stops at the altar. And praise and worship ended not there after. Too much longer. Why? Because we shut it down. We listened to the enemy. We're too magnified. Huh? No? That's what I think happened. And so here's the deal. Got the guest speaker coming up. His name is Randy Ruiz. I've never heard of the guy. He's been at the Toronto Revival. He's been at the Pensacola Revival. He's been at the San Antonio Revival. He has been one of the most blessed men to be able to speak at times when God is moving in certain regions of different countries, but he's there and being invited. And so we're getting to listen to him, and he does got the goods, and he's preaching, and he's getting his back magnified in the right way. He's got it on heads, and we're listening to him, and we're with him, and I can't remember how long he speaks, but everybody was challenged, and he's going at the end of his message. He's going, okay, I don't know what you're feeling, but I know that I'm speaking to some of you. And he goes, I'm going to count to three, and you don't have to wait to count to three to come up, but if you're challenged by what I'm telling you, I want you up here. One, two, and people start coming. They keep coming and they're flooding in. Why? Because he's got the anointing on his life. There's men up here. And not few, but a few men here. Not that everybody has to. Hey, some of these men are intercessors. Some of these men are living for God and everything's great. That may have, but listen, there's men by the droves up here at the altar. So I've positioned myself over here. I'm walking around as I normally do because I don't want to miss anything. If you watch me, I'm always watching you. Why am I doing that? Because I want to see what God has for you sometimes, a word or what needs to be done in the spirit realm. And so I'm watching from about right here, and I see a gaggle of men, a circle of men with one guy in the middle. And guess what they're doing? They're praying for him. Right? So they got their hands laid out, and man, I'm going, wow, God, look at that. It's a young man. No question about it. He's got his hands raised. He's got his hands raised, and I can just see he's receiving from those men. Wow. And so I'm just, tears are coming in my eyes, I'm watching, and you know, there's lots of men, so I can still see this group, but it's not like it's, everybody's not moving around, and it's, anyway, it can kind of get crowded in your vision. I don't know how else to say that. But here's what I saw is I see his hands raised, and one of his arms, at least it looked like it from back there, came down with force. Wow. And it hit a guy on the shoulder. And I said, wow, okay. Maybe he didn't see that. And then I see him go from here to here. I go, what? What? Two men are fixing to stand off? This ought to be interesting. At the altar, we're going to have a Muhammad Ali moment. Huh? But there's nobody but him like this. But with intentionality, he starts swinging. Where? At anybody in that circle. He's trying to hit somebody as hard as he can. And because of the circle, he's hitting people in the back of the shoulder, in the back of the head. Some of them are down here on the arm because they're trying to restrain him now and lay hands on him and cast the demonic anger out or whatever it is. They're trying to get to him because he's a man of God, they think. But here's the reality. What happens is, man, he cold cocks one of them. God goes to his knees, and the men come and they're still praying over him. And we would think that there are 209 people and these men are gathered around him that they could cast that demon out of that guy. Didn't happen. So he's swinging and swinging and swinging. And so I'm going to start moving myself up thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips. And I got about halfway and I said, okay. That's a large circle. How am I going to get in the middle of all that? And by that time, I see a man coming from over here. I see a man. He's working his way through the men, the sea of men. Not to the circle yet, but he's having to get there because there's so many men. And it's not Randy Ruiz, the guest speaker. It's a guy who's just there. And he's trying to get, he finally gets over there. And he's trying to reach his hand over to the guy's head. And he can't get it because some of these men are taller than him. So he jumps and he touches the head of the guy swinging at all cost. And guess what happens? Poof! He's out just like a dead man. Just like the guys when they came to arrest Jesus. Fell as like a dead man. Wow. All those men, great hearts, great intentions, doing the right thing, praying for a man who had some anger issues or something. I don't know what the spirit that was dealing, because I'm back here. I could prophesy to you in little, but I don't know the whole, so I don't know it all. But I do know that this guy's out. And it wasn't through Randy Ruiz. Out of all the 209 men, minus the one who is the guy who's demonically possessed. We have 208 men who could be used by a vessel of doing what that man did, right? God could use anybody he wanted to that day, right? He could have used me. Oh, come on, man, that hurt. That hurt. All right, Alonzo, that one should be the one where you go, yeah, he could have used you. You could have been magnified at that moment and said, yeah. But anyway, he uses one man out of the 208 available to him. And it fixes the entire situation. Guess who that man was? Out of 208, it's the guy who had the unction of the Holy Ghost, who began to run, and run fast he did. He was running as so to win, even when it wasn't publicly stroking his ego. He's running because God said go. He chooses that man because he's willing. He's willing to put his ego away. I'm just telling you, I just know men, I don't care who you are. If God has you running, and you go, okay, I'm doing it, God, I'm doing it. Somebody's going to follow me, surely. And you run the second round, nobody joins you. The third round, nobody joins you. The fourth round, you're embarrassed, and so you say, God, nobody's following me. I must have missed you. You didn't miss anything. You didn't miss anything. Congregation missed. The men that were magnified missed. That's the problem. That's the problem in our church. Not just this church. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying we're having some Psalm 47 moments here. That's a good thing. But the more that we can, as men for sure, become magnified on the head's part of magnification, that's going to be nothing but keep us in a place of unity and one accord. You hear me? Things can happen with unity and one accord. And so here's the title of the message. This is that, part two. Right? Part two. We went over part one, and all I could get was really the testimony of me being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This one was what the Spirit can do if you'll lean towards Him. You know what I'm saying? And don't lean towards you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to say the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'm trying to instill in us by hearing the word and the testimony of what happened, not just in 10 years ago or 20 years. Well, it happened just 2 weeks ago. The same Holy Spirit that was on the day of Pentecost did the exact same thing. So, that's where we find ourselves. Let me get to the place of, you go, wow. Some of you have that anxiety meter that we were talking about 2 weeks ago that is beginning to rise with it, because you know that we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some of you that grew up in a church that maybe wasn't healthy in that way, or you don't know anything about it. I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit. I don't like that stuff. It's weird. It's weird. No, the people are weird. Holy Spirit's not weird. That's not weird. That's life-changing. You hear me? It's life-changing. And you, man, let me tell you something. If we were a community of 209 men, that would have forever changed that moment in us. We would have, because the rest of the time we were together, it didn't matter what happened. We were good. The men did everything that they should have gone. Clap real loud, raise their hands in the altar. Right? So, here we go. Let's pray. Father, ears to hear a message that may be hard to receive because of blockage. So, Father, we need ears to hear. Father, listen to the scriptures and the testimonies, and then make up our minds. Let's don't go to a prerequisite of what we have experienced in our past, growing up under maybe situations that were not of the most healthy, Lord God. Let's just put that aside and look at the scriptures. Amen? In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. And Selah. Amen, amen. Selah, so be it, right? Amen. Y'all gonna start using that word Selah before it's all said and done. So, all right, are you good? So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that particular phrase is used 7 times in the New Testament. All right? 4 of the 7 times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Gospels, this Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that phrase is used in the Gospels 1 time each. Early on, and I'll get onto that in just a minute, and then there's 3 times in the book of Acts that it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? So let's look at those things and kind of get kind of a look at what it's saying in those things, all right? Matthew chapter 3, have you got it? Brother Jeremy, you there? Matthew 3, it says, Matthew's recording what John the Baptist is stating. You got it? It says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Where's my glasses? Where's my cheaters? Can you give me my cheaters real quick? But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? With water? No. He, Jesus, is going to baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire, all right? You don't have to turn to this one, Mark chapter 1. He's going to have it for you so I can get going. I indeed baptize you. This is John again speaking, and Mark writing it down. It says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit, right? Luke 3:16, John answered saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? And finally, the book of John, it says, and I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Wow, wow, wow. So 4 Gospels, right? 4 Gospels. And here's what's interesting about it. And it's all basically the same scripture, right? This is early on in the books. The third chapter, but this is how they start introducing you, all right? The writers of those 4 books are introducing you to and this is the first time they talk about Jesus. They are introducing you to who Jesus is in their eyes and who they want you to see in your eyes, all right? Because here's what we usually do. When we talk about Jesus, man, we're going to talk about him being our Savior, God's Son, the Messiah, our Redeemer, right? Our Deliverer, the one who forgives us of our sins. We certainly don't say, I want to talk to you about Jesus, the one who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. But these guys, that's how they want you to know him. That's the first thing they describe to you about him. What? So something's up right there. Could it be a statistical happenstance that just those 4 people writing them, the 4 Gospels, maybe that's just happened randomly. I'm not, oh, wow, yeah. But, wow, my goodness, I just don't think that's the case. All right, so turn with me to the most familiar scripture that we have, and that's Acts chapter 2, right? Let me get back over here on this side. Acts chapter 2, you there? Have we got that, Jeremy? All right, it says, when the day of Pentecost had finally come. Fully come. Oh, I'm sorry, not finally. Oh, I need to get better glasses. So, man, when the day of Pentecost, don't get twisted. Some of us see Pentecostal there, right? Assembly of God. Charismatic. Or I don't know, full gospel. It's not a denomination. It's just a festival they're talking about. All right? But sometimes we see that and it'll trigger stuff in us. Don't get it twisted. Let's see what happens. And it says, and they were all in what? One accord in one place. Okay, so hold on. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. Man, this will be interesting. All right, so Jesus in chapter 1, he's already been crucified, but he's over the span of 40 days, he's showing himself to others, all right, so that they know that he's been resurrected. They didn't kill him, and he didn't. They did kill him, but he came back from the dead and rose and resurrected, and everything he said he did. So he's just proving it. And so he's having a sit down in verse 4, and it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Wait for the gift. Wait a minute. Wait for the gift. If God has a gift for you, you would be an idiot not to receive a gift that God wants you to have. Huh? Not only it's a gift, he promises. Hey, I promise to give it to you. I promise to give it to you. Wow. Wow. So he's got that going on. It's going to blow you away. So, for John truly baptized you with water, but here it goes again. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's a different version, but same thing, right? Oh, but wow. Verse 8. But ye shall shall receive what? Power through this gift. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, I can't wait till series 4 or series 5, but man, this, and then what happened? Oh, wow. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. He ascended into heaven after he made the statement. Let me just tell you, he's going to be with the Father, and the last thing he wants to tell someone is, I've got a gift for you from my Father. It's not, I love you guys. Wow, it was wonderful. You did great in the 3-year course that we went through. You went to Bible college. I'm just so proud of you guys. No, he's talking to them about the last thing that he wants them to remember. And that is the gift that God has promised. Right? Wow. Man. So let's get to, I'm going to go, and we're just going to go to chapter 2 real quick. It won't be long, and then we'll be all right, okay? Everybody good? All right. Don't get your panties in a wad. All right, here we go. Let me help me here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. If they were not in unity, if they were not in one accord, all right, so listen, Jesus in the first chapter says, I need for you to go to Jerusalem and do what? Wait. Wait for the gift and the promise, and until you do that, you don't leave. So they gather together, the 120, Johnny, and they're together. They're in the upper room, and man, it's been an hour, and everybody's gung-ho and singing, and it's, I'm here. It's been an hour. How long we got to go? Whew, man, that's an hour. Man, we were standing the whole time, and those seats are hard. They're out of wood. I got a splinter in my rear, and so, man, how in the world is that going to happen? And so, man, 2 hours go by, and 3 hours go by, and 4 hours. Hey, it's time for lunch or dinner or something. I'm hungry. Wow. And so they probably break and go down to the McDonald's that's on the court or whatever, and they come back. And the next 10 days pass by until this day fully comes. 10 days of being in one accord. You know what people smell like after 10 days of being in one accord? That's not good. But without being in one accord, in unity, this doesn't happen. And suddenly don't happen unless we are one accord, every one of us. It don't happen. If unbelief is in the room, it ain't going to happen. Disobedience in the room and saying, I wish I was somewhere else. I wish he'd get finished. It's 12:18. That's not going to happen with suddenlies. And so, but anyway, so here we are. They're all in one accord. Look at it. And suddenly there came a sound, what? From heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And listen to this. And it filled the whole house. It filled the whole house. Notice that the Spirit of God filled the whole house before it filled the people. And this is why you want to be in a church that worships. Because a house that's full of true worshipers is a house that is full of his presence. He had to have the Spirit of God in the house of God before it could be filled into the people. It's got to be in this part of where we're at. It's, man, thank you, Andrew. You're the best. He's filling the house with his presence so that he can fill the people next. And it only takes place when we're in unity and we're having 47 psalm moments together. You understand that? We can patty cake and have 15-minute song services and we can be out in 45 minutes to an hour and a half. That may happen, but 10 days. God forbid we stay 10 days together. I'm not sure that I would be in one accord with you just yet. But I'm just going to tell you that we'll stop here at 12:19, but we're going to continue to fill the house with Psalm 47. When your voice is at a decibel that you're shouting unto God and not shouting at God because you're frustrated with him. No, we're going to be in one accord. We're going to be in unity so that suddenly it's going to happen. And that the promises that God has given us to impact this region happens. That's what I'm hanging on to. Does it have to be through all the people that are here? I don't need to be here. God promised this church. Right? He promised this church and gave it a promise saying, hey, listen, don't worry about this and that. You just do the this and that I'm teaching you about. And it'll take care of itself. Just remember that unity and being in one accord. So that means that backbiting and gossip stuff needs to check itself out there and never come in here. And then it doesn't need to be out there because you're still doing it out there. And then you come over here and you got the fake fire. Right? You look like a little flittering, flinting person. But your fire is not authentic. It's a false fire. And God don't like false fires. And I'm not saying that you're perfect because I'm not perfect. That's the grace of God. That's what the beautiful thing is that God, if we'll have the right spirit, we don't bite back one another. God's going to love us because his son died for us. That's the only way. Where are you, Adam? He's still coming for the walk. Even when Adam and Eve messed up, he still showed up for the walk.